Sheriff Larrabee's Prisoner by Martin Dexter, pseudonym for Max Brand. Chapter 1. No Hangout. The rain had been falling steadily, with a nor'wester to drive it aslant. Now the wind leaped suddenly at Jack Montaigne, and as if its former pace had been maintained only to lure him into a false security, it now drove the rain in level volleys that crashed against his slicker and stung his face. Even his weather-hardened hands resented the fury of the storm. The blast stopped the trot of his pony, that remained for the moment leaning into the storm. Presently it again gathered headway, urged on by the tickling spur of the rider. When the anger of the wind and rain had spent itself, Montaigne screened his eyes and peered anxiously up the valley. It was then he made out the two lights, one a mere yellow ray which, passing through the mist of rain, was split into a thousand shivering portions as Montaigne squinted at it, and the other merely a dim red blur. They were welcome sights to the rider on this black night, and yet he hesitated before going straight toward them. Eventually he decided that the news about him could not have preceded him to this desolate valley, and he touched the pony with the spurs again. This time the weary beast broke into a lope, cupping the muddy water on the trail in the hollows of his forehoofs, and sending it up in spurts and showers to drench the rider. But against such physical discomforts Jack Montaigne was proof. When the possessions of a man have shrunk to his bridle and saddle and horse and the old gun, sagging at his hip, when, moreover, fear and dread ride at his side, the elements are negligible factors. In truth, the storm fitted in with the mood of Montaigne, and his temper rose in fierce bursts of revolt against the world, just as the wind occasionally struck at him with redoubled force, and like the night, his mind was filled with a steady black gloom. The red light on his right now grew rapidly, the rain streaked down against it, and above the light he made out the outline of a tree. Someone was sitting by a campfire to the lee of a tree, and that was his only shelter against this furious storm. There was no other conclusion to come to, and Montaigne shook his head in wonder. Perhaps the fellow had not seen that light down the road, that light which evidently came from a house. It was partly with a kindly determination to tell the camper that there was a better shelter in sight, and partly with the hope of learning a little about this valley in which he found himself, that Montaigne turned to the right and came squarely upon the fire. It was a miserable and uncertain blaze, fizzing and hissing constantly, as drops of water filtered down from the boughs of the tree above. And yet the broad trunk made a rather good shelter, for the steady wind kept driving the rain at an angle, and the man, whose back was against the tree, was in no danger of getting wet by the direct fall of water. Only the drops that trickled through the foliage above came splashing about him. He had been stirring weakly at the fire, and it was not until the pony came within a yard of the blaze, snorting in disgust as the smoke filled its nostrils, that the camper lifted to the view of Montaigne a white, rat-like face out of which little bright black eyes glittered. "Get your own fire, Beau," said the camper, without waiting to learn definitely the purpose of the new arrival. "I ain't got any more'n enough room for myself, and I ain't going to let you in. Get on your way and hustle your own fire." He enforced this suggestion with an ugly lifting of his upper lip, very much after the manner of a terrier guarding a bone. But Jack Montaigne did not immediately answer. He waited until his observations had taken in all the details of the battered hat, the coat of nameless age and patches, the shoes through the ends of which the toes were thrusting, and the whole atmosphere of unclean suspicion that dwelt about the tramp like a garment. "You dirty rat," said Jack Montaigne, when he broke silence, "I ought to twist your neck into two pieces." "What?" demanded the tramp, starting as he shaded his eyes with his hands and peered half-viciously and half-curiously up through the darkness, as if he wished with all his heart to attack the man who had insulted him, but first must make sure that such an attack would be an expedient proceeding. That which he saw was...